Back your weather forecast, a mixture of clouds and sun, high today around the mid-60s. The Racine Redevelopment Authority votes to support three separate initiatives, two in the uptown, the other on the city's south side. A development agreement with Herman and Kittle Properties for veterans housing in the former Clark Street industrial space includes up to $655,000 through the Brownfield Revolving Loan Fund. And there's financial assistance through the newly created TIF District No. 19, that according to new city development director Amy Connolly.
There's other sources of funding on this. There's a WEDC Brownfield grant. There are historic preservation tax credits. There are mortgages. The city of Racine is providing home funds in the form of both loans and a grant for this project. And there's also low-income housing tax credit monies.
A $150,000 RDA grant will fund a community housing development organization. Intergovernmental dollars to be used until TIF 19 can reimburse. The Racine Redevelopment Partnership's Mary Beth Aldrich saying a formal organization can also help to go after available dollars.
We created the Racine Revitalization Partnership, seven founding nonprofit organizations. The goal is to have five private sector, the city, the county, and then each one of our not-for-profit partners has named a neighborhood representative. So we're a true CHOTO, which means we're a public, private, and community partnership.
And the Redevelopment Authority saying yes to a brokerage firm, RFP Commercial, marketing the Southside Industrial Park off to Covenant Memorial. It'll list for $390,000 and 8% commission if there's a sale. Kenosha City Council again deferring final payment on the reconstruction of the velodrome until such time as the cause of the cracks in the concrete surface can finally be determined and how to be fixed. Carl Wilkins has been involved with the velodrome for nearly 40 years, urging the alderman, hold up the payment but get the repairs going as soon as possible. Mayor John Antaramian asking the alderman to defer the action until the administration figures out the best course of action.
We are trying to make sure we have an understanding of the problem, similar to what we've done with the playground. Making sure we know what the issue is and whether there are more voids. This evening you actually voted to transfer some funds so that we can get a radar situation to see if there are any more voids in any other areas on that track.
The final payment is $670,000 to Rosh Construction. The alderman further supporting transfer of $20,000 out of contingency to the claims budget to pay for sonar testing on the track surface. The Sturtevant Village Board will meet tonight. Aside from almost three pages of licenses for consideration, that agenda includes a resolution to officially name the Fireman's Park T-Ball Field as Drazen Park, recommended by the Parks Event Planning and Village Beautification Committee, and a presentation from the Rails to Trails Group and efforts to turn Old Sioux Line right-of-way into a trail that'll connect with existing Racine County trails. Sewer work on Sheridan Road and Pleasant Prairie at the Highway 165 intersection, prompting village officials to warn drivers use extreme caution at the intersection over the next several weeks. The village planned a temporary four-way stop at that location with approval from the state DOT. Once the sewer work is done, the temporary signs will be taken out. And Racine County Judge Charles Constantine sentences DeMont Carey to life in prison, no chance at parole, for the 2008 shooting death of another Racine man. Carey and co-defendant Jerome Burkhart, who's scheduled for trial next week, accused of breaking into a home on Victory Avenue in the Rubberville neighborhood. The victim, Terrence Miller, shot multiple times. Carey pled guilty to homicide 16 months ago. The delay in his sentencing connected to efforts by the DA's office to prosecute Burkhart, with Carey changing his mind about testifying. The city of Kenosha is being sued for $2 million by the tech firm Comsys Incorporated, which handled the city's IT services for almost 24 years until a dispute surfaced surrounding a former company employee. Ted Kirkman used to be an executive with Comsys. The lawsuit alleges city administrator Frank Pacetti conspired with Kirkman to set up an in-house IT operation, which Comsys owner Catherine McAuliffe maintains violated Kirkman's contract. The Kenosha News adds that Kirkman is also accused of stealing company emails. The Racine County Sheriff's Department started looking into the case last year. The lawsuit further claiming Pacetti threatened termination of the Comsys contract if there was criminal prosecution of Kirkman. The Burlington Common Council will meet in Committee of the Whole this evening. That agenda includes a resolution to authorize Carlson Detman Consulting to do an employee classification and compensation study. Cost on that would be $26,500. The council will vote on the issue tonight. Also consideration, at least in discussion, of allowing yard sale signs in the public right-of-way for the citywide yard sale July the 29th and 30th. The Burlington Council, at the end of its regular agenda tonight, is scheduled to also have a closed session, this on possible legal action against the owners of two dogs involved in bite incidents. The Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberties petitioned the state Supreme Court to hear a lawsuit filed by a Racine County couple. They claim their property assessment went up just because they refused to allow an assessor into their home. The couple from the town of Dover filed suit, named the town, named Racine County, claimed their assessments went up and others in their subdivision went down because the homeowners had allowed the assessor to inspect the interiors. Under Wisconsin law, tax assessors can demand entry into a private home. If the owner refuses, then the assessor can determine the value of the home and the owner has no right to appeal. The conservative law firm is claiming that violates the Fourth Amendment right to refuse to consent to a government search. An appeal of the decision to dismiss the lawsuit by a Racine Circuit Court judge was upheld by the Court of Appeals. And a guy walks into the emergency room with a knife in his back. No joke, this past weekend happened at Kenosha Medical Center. Police say the standard kitchen knife with a black handle protruding from the man's left side below the shoulder blade, allegedly put there by the 26-year-old man's girlfriend. She's now jailed for second-degree reckless endangerment of safety with a weapon and three other charges. The Racine County town of Norway's got a problem that could affect a lot of folks, even outside that community. Multiple stop signs stolen over the past few months. Officials say that creates a safety issue for anybody driving through, and of course, they're costly to replace. Town's website says if you know where the signs may be, please return the signs. This will be a no-questions-asked policy. Kenosha Unified School District extending the time frame to find members of the public to join a naming committee for reviewing the recommendations on the new Bradford High School Stadium. Submit that interest in writing no later than this Friday, June the 10th. Superintendent Sue Savaglio-Jarvis to review them and will appoint that committee by Monday, June 13th. They will meet June the 21st and 29th and July the 6th, each time at the Educational Support Center. Well, after two mosquito species known to carry the Zika virus were found in Illinois and Iowa, 15 of Wisconsin's border counties have now set out traps, whether any are in the Badger State. Traps look like cups with tongue depressors inside. They act as a fake breeding ground for the mosquitoes. The researchers will be checking them weekly through August or September, trying to determine if any larvae belong to the offending mosquito types. Democrats in six states, highlighted by California today, could help decide the race for the party's presidential nomination. Marquette University Law School political scientist Charles Franklin says Hillary Clinton pretty much has the needed majority of the delegates from those states.
The polling shows Clinton with a pretty big lead in New Jersey in the Eastern time zone, so it's actually possible she will wrap up the delegates she needs on East Coast time before California results are in.
Meanwhile, House Speaker Paul Ryan says he absolutely disavows Donald Trump's comments about that federal judge presiding over Trump University lawsuits.
I think they're wrong. I don't think they're right-headed. And the thinking behind it is something I don't even personally relate to.
Speaker Ryan saying he won't defend Trump's comments, but will defend the Republican agenda because what matters most, giving Americans a better way forward, which is more likely to happen with Donald Trump in the White House, he says, than Hillary Clinton. No debate last night as the Kenosha City Council approved a proposal to buy one of the largest, most recognizable buildings in the downtown area. It's a combination of capital improvement dollars and housing and development investment funding. City to pay $260,000 for the building at the corner of 7th Avenue and 58th Street, which last housed the Barton store, which closed in 1997. City officials want to control the future development of that building and prevent it from further deterioration. Also unanimously approved by the council, no comment, permits needed on the U-Line expansion west of the interstate, south of Highway 142. Construction of a $150 million, 800,000 square foot warehouse had been shut down for nearly a month due to the lack of permits. Caledonia's Village Board last night voting in favor of resolutions for Norco Manufacturing to build a 137,000 square foot industrial building in a 187-acre industrial park being created by Wispark LLC along the I-94 corridor. Jerry Frankie with Wispark said there had been some concerned citizens about zoning and what other uses ought to be allowed there. He says this park is set up as an investment.
Unfortunately, way too many of our zoning ordinances today in our villages and communities deal with industrial when buildings were expenses. Today, buildings are investments, and they want those investments to appreciate over time.
Frankie's saying we don't want to do anything at the site that'll impair that investment.
We're not here to sell for metal buildings. We're not here to sell for uses that are offensive, that create odor, that create pollution of other sorts. In fact, to that extent, we record a deed restriction against these properties that's known as protective covenants and development standards. It is virtually the same set of standards that Wispark has utilized for every single business park that's developed in southeast Wisconsin.
A resolution authorizing that developer's agreement with Wispark unanimously approved by the board, as was the conditional use resolution on the Norco building. And the Kenosha County Board is meeting tonight. The agenda includes a resolution from the Judiciary and Law and Finance and Administration Committees approving a corrections officer classification compensation study, and a resolution from Supervisor Terry Rose that calls on the state legislature to pass a bill authorizing psychologists with special training to be allowed to prescribe medication. The issues related to severe erosion eating away at the bluffs on Lake Michigan in Mount Pleasant and Caledonia and part of Summers going to be addressed with affected property owners at a meeting this evening at the Mount Pleasant Village Hall. It starts at 5:30. County Executive Jonathan Delagrave says the intent, developing a common understanding of the problem and the options available. Several state and federal agencies have been invited to send representatives. About a dozen homes in Mount Pleasant, along with some village infrastructure, threatened by that erosion, also affecting parts of Caledonia, as well as some homes in Summers. A lot of discussion last night in Caledonia about the planning at the village board meeting. Two ordinances that make the 2035 comprehensive plan for the village the main governing document. Also deletion of references to the previously adopted 2006 land use and neighborhood plans and maps. Citizen comments had nobody speaking in favor of casting aside those 2006 plans. Julie Anderson, Racine County's Public Works and Development Services Director, adamant in correcting news accounts that the 2035 plan came from SewerPAC. She said SewerPAC was just a consultant.
It is not SewerPAC's plan. They were the consultant, and Caledonia voted to participate in it at a very good deal, not $375,000, but at a very good deal to the taxpayers of this county to prepare this document along with some grant money that we had available. And this has served as a Bible for any developer that's come in.
Village President Bob Bradley indicating it clarifies which plan will dominate development opportunities, noting the 2035 document contains elements of the 2006 plan.
We've got these projects knocking on the door, and one of our goals was to streamline our system where the developers are coming in and getting all this stuff out of two different plans, and that's what's driving this. We have to fix it. And I'm not saying throw away the land use, the 206 land use plan, but why not start looking at what you want to put into a future plan now? We have to move on something.
The vote on the ordinance is 4-2. Trustees Ed Willing and Lee Wishaw against them said nothing documented showed the differences between the two plans. Our AccuWeather forecast is coming up. I'm Tom Carco, WRJN News.